Well, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about prayer and faith towards God, especially for His direction. And I'm going to mix this in with a revelation that was given to Sandy Shaw on the 3rd of this month. And we called it, "Are You a Yielded Vessel?" And Sandy said, "In a dream, I was in the air with a big angel on each side of me. They were about 10 feet tall. They glowed and stood arm to arm with me. And one angel said, 'Sandra, what do you see?' I said, 'I see a storm approaching, a lot of lightning, sheets of water, wind coming closer and closer.' Then the angel asked me, 'Sandra, do you hear the Master speaking?' I had to get very quiet and still. And then I said, 'Yes, I do.' Then the angel of the Lord said, 'Do it without ceasing.'" Do it without ceasing. What? Get quiet and listen for the Lord, huh? Well, you know, it's better to find the will of God in the quiet before the storm. Good example, 1 Kings 19:11. And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice." Ah, there he is. The still, small voice. What do you think the Lord is trying to say to us? "And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, 'What doest thou here, Elijah?'" As you know, Elijah was running from Jezebel, and he had a lot of fear on him, and he took off and ended up at the mountain of God. And when he finally did get to hear God, God said, "What are you doing here?" Guess he should have asked before the storm, right? You know, the flesh is impulsive. It's moved by fear and self-preservation. And you can't obey it because you're just obeying enemy spirits if you do that, and you're going to end up in more trouble, right? And, of course, Elijah, wanting to justify himself a little bit, said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Well, the Lord didn't say much about that, but he said to him, "Go and return thy way to the wilderness." In other words, go back where you came from. "And when thou comest, thou shalt anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room." Well, he lost his ministry. Well, that sounds a whole lot like Saul, who got ahead of God and lost his anointing to do his ministry, and already had Samuel anointing David, right? Yep, because he got ahead of God. You know, if we're moved by fear, just remember it is an evil spirit, and it's their job to lead you wrong. An evil spirit is not going to lead you right. It's not going to lead you in the way of the Lord. And, you know, Elijah ran. Amos seemed to be speaking about that in chapter 5 and verse 19. It says this: if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, not a good trade-off, was it? Or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. And I guess the lesson ought to be that we need to not be reactionary. We need to get quiet and ask for the Lord's instructions concerning His direction and judgments to come. You know, we're hearing a lot about judgments to come, and a lot of people are getting ahead of the Lord because of fear and wanting to defend themselves and so on and so forth. But Isaiah said in 28 and 16, it says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone." And we know that's Jesus, right? He's our foundation. Everything's got to be built on Him. He has the preeminence in all things, we're told. And He's a tried stone, a precious cornerstone of sure foundation. You build everything on that rock, it'll last, right? And here's the important part, too. He that believeth shall not be in haste. Well, you know, the devil tries to get us in haste. He tries to get us anxious and troubled and worried that if we don't do something, something bad's going to happen. And whenever we make that move, we miss Him. We miss the Lord. We don't have to get in a hurry because the Lord has to go before us, as it was with Israel when they went through the wilderness, right? The Lord signaled when they were to pack up and leave, and He signaled when they were to stop. And you know, Isaiah 52 and 12 says, "For you shall not go out in haste, neither shall you go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rearward." Yet we need God before us, and we need to be quiet and get instructions. And we don't need to make any decisions. Sometimes we feel like we're forced into making a decision. But you don't ever make a decision that you're forced into. You make a decision because you've heard from the Lord, right? Like Sandy said, I had to get very quiet and still. And then she could say, "Yes, I heard from the Lord." Well, the angel said, "Do it without ceasing." Amen? Make sure of your direction. You don't have to make a decision if you're being pushed to make a decision and you're not, and in your conscience you're not sure, then who's doing the pushing? Right? So be patient. Patient in your faith, patient in your prayers, and you will lack nothing, right? Sandy said, "I started praying in tongues, and I put my right hand out, and I could feel the cold rain and the wind. I could see the wind make depressions in my skin as the force of it blew against my arm." But you know, we don't need to look very closely at the problem, right? We don't need to inspect the threat. We got God. You know, 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says we walk by faith and not by sight. Abraham had to ignore what he was seeing in order to continue believing God. Hebrews 10 and 38 says, "But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." The Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. In other words, if you're not sure God wants you to do this, it's not right. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You have to be convinced that this is God's direction for you. Now, you can ask God a lot of times, is it okay? Can I do this? And a lot of times he'll tell you yes, but it may not necessarily be his best, right? We'd like to have the good and perfect will of God, right? Amen. Well, praying in tongues is good when you don't know. The Bible says, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So, you want to build up your faith, pray in tongues. That's a good thing. And if you don't pray in tongues, ask God for that gift. Ask Him to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will empower you to go against your flesh. And Sandy said, now I'm a little farther up than before. And the angel of the Lord said, Sandra, what do you see? I said, I see a second storm approaching me with 5 tornadoes. I could see beyond these storms and see the devastation that they left. Buildings were gone and turned to rubble, but some weren't even touched. Well, that sounds like they've got God's protection, right? Psalm 91:11 says, He will give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And remember what Jesus said. He said in Matthew 7:24, everyone therefore that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened to a wise man. Got to slow down enough to hear, right? If you slow down, sometimes the Lord, the Holy Spirit, brings to your remembrance things the Lord has said to you, like this. Everyone therefore that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rock, of course, is that foundation, Jesus Christ, right? And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and smote upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall thereof, because this house represents the man's life, right? We are the house of God. The angel said, do you hear the master's instructions? And I had to get real quiet and still so I could hear. And I said, yes. Then he said, do it without ceasing. Oh, it's going to be so important in the days ahead to not be moved by anything but the master's instructions. Going to be so important. We might as well get used to this now, train ourselves to do this now. We need to be trained to seek, hear, and act on the Lord's instructions, especially concerning the coming judgments, so that when they come, we can act in the rest of faith and have a Passover, right? Amen. Passover is so important. We're coming to a Passover, a real Passover for the people of God. Remember when the Passover came? Just before they went into the wilderness, there was a Passover. A great destruction came just before they went into the wilderness. Many died. In fact, it was just 7 days before they went into the wilderness, before they went through the Red Sea. So, we've got something just like that coming, I believe. A repetition of history, a Passover. Sandy said, the first time I couldn't hear because of the storm and the crackle of the lightning and the thunder. And the whole time I kept hearing John 4:21-24. John 4:21-24. John 4:21-24. And it says, of course, John 4:21, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you know not. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. In other words, not in a place, not in a building, but in spirit and in truth. For such doth the Father seek to be his worshipers. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And the word worship here is a Greek word, proskuneo. It means to kiss towards. It's kind of a reverential act of love towards God. It could be any act of love towards God. Every act of obedience is an act of love towards God. Because we're told over and over that we love him when we keep his commandments. We are commanded to worship God with our whole being, with instruments, with the dance, with our heart. And worship must be in spirit, with the heart, meaning not in the flesh, and it should be in truth, meaning not an act of show to impress other people. Right? What would worship in spirit be? It would be kind of radical. It would be kind of no holds barred. Remember when David worshiped before the ark? And Michael was shamed by it? She was proud. And of course God smote her and she didn't bear any fruit. Because he liked what David was doing. And David did too. Praise God. We need to worship. Worship is not just what you do in church. Worship is really the way you live. You know, it is acts of love towards God. Especially when men aren't looking. You know, lots of people sing and praise God in church because everybody else is doing it. But the Lord wants to see that all the time. Remember that David was a man after God's heart. And he worshiped like that. He was after God's heart. Well, Sandy said, I dreamed this all again. In other words, a second time. The difference was, this time, was that I could hear the Lord. He spoke very softly, barely above a whisper. But he kept saying, pray in the Spirit and in truth without ceasing. Pray in the Spirit and in truth without ceasing. You know, 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, and for this cause we also thank God without ceasing, that when you receive from us the word of the message, even the word of God, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also worketh in you that believe, without ceasing. And also, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus to you ward. Pray without ceasing. Now, there's times when you have to pray in your heart or pray in your mind. And other times when you can pray vocally, but pray without ceasing. And of course, as the Lord Jesus taught us, you know, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them and you shall have them. Faith is pleasing to God. Without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto God. And Sandy said, everything was completely tuned out. I did not hear the storm. Well, amen. I guess that's the way we got to get, you know. And then on the 8th, she said, I dreamed this all again, which was on the 7th. And then on the 8th, she says, I woke up in the night, and the clock said 3:33. And the Lord asked me a question. Are you a yielded vessel? Well, first thing I thought about is 3:33 is Jeremiah 3:33. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and will show thee great things and difficult, which thou knowest not. So she woke up in the night and prayed. That happens to me a lot. So call to the Lord in the quiet of the night when men don't see and men aren't distracting and other things aren't distracting a lot. Call upon the Lord. You may need Him the next day before you call upon Him. Right? So anyway, Matthew 6:6 says, But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thine inner chamber, and having shut the door, pray to thy Father who is in secret. And thy Father who seeth in secret shall recompense thee. Okay, is there a place for prayers of unity? Of course. If any two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done by our Father in heaven. Right? There is power in combined faith. But praying without ceasing goes beyond prayer meetings, doesn't it? Some people think, well, in a prayer meeting, that's when I get all my praying done. Well, I hope not. I just hope not. That's just not a good idea. Praying without ceasing is the command. And the Lord means it. He knows we need it, you know. Praying without ceasing. And, you know, you can talk to God all the time in your mind and even vocally. Of course, sometimes people, it's more convenient to do it quietly. But alone with God in prayer, people that don't do that and all they do is combined prayer and prayer meetings, well, you know, they must be doing it to be pleasing unto men, right? If that's the only way they'll do it. But the Lord wants you to make the sacrifice to pray to Him. Well, anyway, she said, I went back to sleep again, and I woke up at 4:44, 3:33, and then 4:44. I think that's happened to me, too. And I heard the same question, are you a yielded vessel? And I remember seeing that the Greek gematria for perfect love is 444. And, of course, there's a lot of gematrias that come up to 444. But obviously, if we love God, we're going to keep His commandments, right? And He says to pray without ceasing. She said, then I went back to sleep, and in the dream, He showed me and reminded me of something that happened when I was a child. In the dream, I was reminded there was a Pentecostal church across the street from my mom's house. And my dad was related in some way to most of the people in that church. Great aunts and uncles and cousins went to that church. Now, they were having a special Jubilee celebration with lots of music on Saturday because nothing could interfere with the Sunday service. Interesting, we have come to a Jubilee year here. And they don't come that often. Jubilee, of course, is a perfect year for the saints to go into the wilderness free of bondage to the Egyptian. Right? perfect for that. We don't get another one for 50 years. Could be that this is a very significant Jewish year, the end of this our year and the beginning, most of next year, could be a very significant Jubilee year, especially if the woman goes into the wilderness. Woohoo! She said there were three much older women who asked if I could go to the Jubilee, but Mom said no. Then my dad's great aunt asked, why not? And Mom said, because I'm teaching her Catholicism. So I went to my room and cried myself to sleep. I really didn't understand at 4, almost 5 years old. Then my dad knocked on my door and grabbed a blanket. He took my hand and we went to the front yard, putting the blanket on the ground, and I sat down. And he went to the kitchen and got some grapes and cheese. Mom came out a few minutes later very upset with Dad. She said in Spanish, why are you deliberately trying to go against what I said? He said, what you are teaching her is wrong. As long as they are praying and singing and lifting up Jesus, that's all that matters. So she went back into the house, slamming the door. Then the music started, and the songs that I remember were This Little Light of Mine and I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And I learned that song that day with all of its verses, and I knew I was singing that from my heart. Boy, kids can do that too. Let the little children come unto me, Jesus said, right? Don't hold them back for religion, you know. Well, I woke up again and the clock said 5:55. Well, I guess we could guess that, right? 5:55 could be grace multiplied, huh? But later that day, I went to sleep and dreamed all of that again. But this time, the dream went further. Have you ever had a dream that repeated, but the next time it went another step? Well, that's what happened here. Dad came home from work, in the dream that is, and said, why don't you sing that song again? I have decided to follow Jesus. Then I did. And when the part came, though none go with me, still I will follow, I started to cry and then sob. And then my dad said, I thought you liked that song. And I answered, Daddy, someday I will be by myself and Jesus has to be enough. Yep, that was a revelation to her. This little girl. And she said, that's when I heard again, are you a yielded vessel? Now, what are we to take from this? Well, possibly, would we follow Jesus if none of our family or friends or people we respected went with us? Suppose everybody around us turns back. Does that mean we have to turn back? Well, we may be tested. Obviously, God's grace, 5:55, will help us if we desire this. We desire to be faithful to the Lord. You can always go to Him for grace, right? And Sandy said, but we know that the storms are going to come. Yes, they are. And He is constantly giving us instructions. So are we a yielded vessel? Are we listening and obeying God? We're supposed to be hearing Him even in the midst of the chaos. This is true. Like John 4:21-24, which He spoke to her over and over in a dream. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. What about in your church? Yeah, same thing. You worship that which you know not. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such doth the Father seek to be his worshipers. And God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So, are we willing to love and obey him when no man sees, or when no man goes with us? Amen. 2 Corinthians 4 and 7 says, But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God, not from ourselves. We're pressed on every side, yet not straitened. Perplexed, yet not unto despair. Do you think that maybe this is out of order in God's kingdom, that we get pressed on every side and perplexed and so on? Well, it's only out of order if you listen to the wrong voices and go into despair, right? If we're pursued, yet not forsaken, we're smitten down, yet not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus, and we do, we go through all these trials and troubles and tribulations in order to make the right choices so that we lose our old life and gain our new life, right? The dying of Jesus. So that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. Not in the air, not in the sky, not in heaven, in our body. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That's what these trials are all about. Count it all joy when you fall into manifold temptations. Always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. The life of Jesus in this body on this earth. It says mortal flesh here, right? So that's why we are disciples of Jesus Christ, to come into his image here. You know, if the life of Jesus is manifested in our mortal flesh, we'll say with him, like in John 5 and 30, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. Can't do a thing. Got to hear from God. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. So while you're seeking God's will, be sure that you're not seeking your own will, but his will. Because he's going to speak to those who are willing to do his will, according to Jesus in John 7 and 17. If any man willeth to do his will, he shall know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. We're going to know what voice is speaking to us if we're willing to do the will of God. Amen? Ain't God good? Hallelujah. And you know, we got some stuff coming. I'm convinced of it. Stuff is coming. I do believe that the Lord has shown us that in this fall, there's going to be some barren fruit by the bride, by the man child. And maybe that is a symbol that these people are going to start standing out, you know. Hope so. We certainly need that. But I also believe something may happen in the spring concerning going into the wilderness. You know, three times in 2 days, we always pray before we come to our morning meeting, and three times in 2 days we got this text, not always in the same gospel, but we got this text. And, for instance, Missy got this, Matthew 24 and 29, "But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken." Now, we thought about this, and we know that this is literally talking about the end of the tribulation, the church's tribulation. But how many of you know that the bride and the man-child have been going through a tribulation to prepare them to lead the church through a tribulation? They're going through their tribulation now. I don't believe God is telling us about the end of the tribulation here. I believe He wants us to use these words to let Him speak a message to us too, because we too are coming through a tribulation, and it's going to be over shortly. He said, "The sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light." How much have we heard that this is something that could happen before the tribulation period? Stars shall fall from heaven, to say nothing about a falling away that we know happened when Jesus started His ministry. A falling away. Remember, Abraham's seed is as the stars of heaven. But also, one of the first judgments that happens is fireballs falling from the sky. Could be, I remember what Gil Broussard said, and he became pretty convinced of it, that this coming Passover is when we pass through the tail of Planet X. Well, he calls it 7X, okay? And, you know, he plotted his course because he did the research from the Chinese sightings of what he calls Planet 7X and the Koreans and the Japanese sightings. And so he plotted a course. And he was amazed at how many things seemed to come up right. For instance, on Passover, as you know, on Passover, the death angel, the destroyer, passed over. It passed over the Israelites who were in bondage, and it smote the Egyptians. And within 7 days, they were crossing into the wilderness. So you know what this Passover is all about. It's about those judgments that came from the sky in their day and are going to come in our day. Well, Gil was surprised that on Passover, he found the Revelation 12 sign in the heavens. The woman going into the wilderness, the woman with the moon under her feet, clothed with the sun, going into the wilderness on Passover. He said the sign is there. However, there's one distinct difference that he discovered. I don't have any way to check any of this out, saints. I'm just reporting, okay? He said, instead of the sun, it was Planet X. Now, he says that, according to meteorologists, this Planet X is neither a sun nor a planet, according to their writings. But here's what I think. If you had the sign in the stars, 12 stars around her head, and the woman, and giving birth to the man child, and so on, if you had all of that, and the sun happened to be the second sun, which you don't call it that, and you don't believe it is, it happened to be the second son, I would say God is saying something. Because we're most likely in a binary system with two sons. One of them is called a failed son because it doesn't have the full power of our son. It never reached that point of maturity. Or if it did, it burnt out or something. I don't know. But anyway, I would say if you had all the rest of the signs there and the son was planet X, now he said if it was our son, it would be too bright to even see this. The stars wouldn't show up. And but if it was planet X, which is considerably dimmer, it would be seen. And he says the sign is there. I mean, who am I to say it's not? You would have to, you know, set up your software to consider both the sign in heaven and the plotting of planet X, which he has done. He used the sightings from the Chinese mostly to plot it out and found what he believes is this coming 2016 that Planet X shows, which is reminiscent of what the people from history have said happened at the time of the Passover when Israel came out of Egypt, when the judgments were upon Egypt. Now, I can't prove any of that either, you know. I'm just trying to put the puzzle together for myself. But if this is so, everything is about to change. You know, I've looked at his plotting, and it looks like the Earth will pass through the tail of Planet X at the time of what we're generally suspecting is Passover. Now, no man knows the day or the hour, and that's because you don't know until the sliver of the new moon, right? So that's why it can say that no man knows the day or the hour. That's why they say that, okay? But it's very interesting that on this Passover, that we would need a Passover from the destroyer, which was called Planet X, on that day. Wouldn't that be something? That God was so accurate that he would repeat history here? Wow! That would be just amazing. To say nothing of the fierce judgments that fall upon the earth, I watched his plotting, and just as Planet X had made its cycle around the sun and was going back through Earth's orbit, it just passed through Earth's orbit when the Earth went through its tail. Meaning, it looks like, if his plotting is right, we're going to have a very close look at this thing. And that's not good for planet Earth. But you know, all they needed was the blood of the Lamb on their doorposts. They had heard from the Lord. They knew what to do. They made preparations. They made sure that they ate the whole lamb. And that destroyer, which is a destroyer of planets, there are littered, from what I understand, belts of destroyed planet out there. So, I mean, it is a terrible thing. And rightly so, that God would send this thing at that time to get everybody's attention. Maybe many people would be saved. And of course, those who he selects would not be saved. So after the earth passed through this tail, about 5 months later in August, it passed through the tail that Planet X made the first time when it was going around the sun. It passed through the tail there about 5 months later, 150 days later. And That's not good either. I mean, from what I understand, this thing has a tail that's millions of miles long. Of course, you only pass through it for an hour before you've passed through it. An hour in both cases. An hour. The first hour, by the way, is before the wilderness. You remember the Passover happened before the wilderness. Now he's saying it's in the sixth seal, which is wrong. It's, you know, his timing of applying the tribulation to this is wrong. Because the Passover of the destroyer happened before they went into the wilderness. As a matter of fact, they left 7 days with unleavened bread to the Red Sea. And that's when they entered into the 3.5 years Revelation 12 talks about. However, the second pass-through is in the tribulation period. And it's probably those things that we're seeing in Revelation chapter 8 hitting the earth. So neither one of these times can be very good at all. And if he's right, and I know that Marshall Masters checked out what he believes is Planet X in the solar system, and Gill believes it's in the solar system too. They're both in agreement. They have a lot of disagreement on a lot of things, but on that thing, they seem to be in agreement. It's in the solar system. And a couple of pictures I looked at very convincing. And at least one has been checked out by Marshall Masters and found out that it has its own heat source. It is a heat source. It is a sun, although not as bright as our sun. And so here we go. I mean, what do we actually know? Not too much. But if these things are correct, according to Gil Broussard, we're going to see it across the solar system behind the sun at this time. And you know what? It seems like that's what's happening. Okay. So let's just imagine, you know, we need a Passover. Now, it's going to be passing by close to Earth, not on the other side of the sun, as it has in some cases. See, as the Earth goes around the sun, it could come through with the Earth on the other side. But in this case, it comes through right ahead of... Can God change something? He can change anything He wants to change, you know. But this looks like a worst-case scenario. And it seems like a confirmation to see the sign of Revelation 12 happening on the Passover. Because that sign, of course, is the woman that just had her Passover and is going into the wilderness. How awesome. You say, oh, well, it doesn't sound too awesome to me, David. I says, well, I got to agree with you. It's going to be a nasty situation. As a matter of fact, this text that we got 3 times, it says, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Remember, God made the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to move to rule the night. These are the powers of the heavens. They're all going to be shaken by this thing. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. By the way, when the thing is coming, it looks kind of like a star that's a cross. I saw some pictures that look like that. So I says, wow. That's interesting. Maybe that's a sign of the coming judgment of the earth by the Lamb. The white horse rider, whatever, you know. Sign of the Son of Man. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. What would make all the tribes of the earth mourn except they found out they've been lied to about this planet coming through? And by the way, when does the Lord come? I'm not looking at this literally again. When does the Lord come? He comes in the midst of the worst earthquake, from what we can tell from dreams. at the time, probably, this time that we're talking about. He's coming to judge the earth. And he's going to send forth his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Where are they gathering them for this time? To go into the wilderness. They gathered them from all over Egypt, from Goshen, to go into the wilderness. And then Don Laughlin and Judy got this text, Mark 13:24. But in those days, after that tribulation, sun shall be darkened, moon shall not give her light. One of the things we believe will happen from the dreams is that our moon is going to be struck rather hard by an asteroid, which knocks a sizable chunk out of it, and this dust comes to the earth and darkens the earth. And we even prayed here recently that our moon would not get out of its orbit and cause tsunamis, because we had a warning to pray for that. So we prayed for that. Okay. So that's probably not the only reason. I mean, if the earth is being pelted with fireballs from the sky and things like that, you can imagine the atmosphere is pretty darkened. Don't know. You know, I've never been there. And the stars shall be falling from heaven, and the powers that are in the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power, great power and glory. Well, I know who's going to see him, at least this time. And he tells you, too, that from the fig tree learn her parable. When her branches now become tender and putteth forth its leaves, which is spring, right? By the way, talking about spring and fall for the fruit of the man-child and the bride, Michael Hare just took a picture of three fruit trees in full blossom. It's right around the corner from us. Astounding. Astounding. What is going on? Well, anyway, he says, when you see these things come to pass, know that he is nigh even at the door. When? Well, before summer, when the fig tree starts putting forth its leaves. He is nigh even at the door. That's talking about spring and spring there, though. Like the going into the wilderness is probably spring and spring. We're talking about spring and fall, talking about this bearing of the fruit, of the first fruits, right? And verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all these things be accomplished. Well, that's kind of like the Jubilee. It looks to me like this is the Jubilee. We can't wait another 50 years. Well, okay. Just thought I'd leave you with a little bit of that stuff. Maybe we'll look at this more closely. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your goodness to us and your grace to us. Prepare us, Lord, for these things to come, Lord. Draw your people close to you, Lord. Cause them to desire to hear your voice, your directions, Lord. Cause them not to be anxious or troubled and move in the flesh and get in trouble, but just to listen to you, Lord. Hear your voice, Lord. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, Father. Praise your name. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, 555, poured out upon us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.